Romans chapter 6 has 23 verses. We want to read the entire chapter together. I pray that you'll stand with me if you're able to, please, at this time. And I hope that you'll take a few minutes and enjoy just the time we'll spend reading together this chapter from God's Word. Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 1. If you found it, Romans chapter 6 and verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 7 is very key. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of the flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity and unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made sin, made free from sin, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of this chapter. My goodness sakes, we could take weeks going line upon line, precept upon precept. I'm not sure if we probably have any idea of the great truths we've just listened to mentioned in the reading of this portion of Scripture. I pray, Lord, that we might be able to take this great theme this morning and get it across in an understandable fashion to those that are here today. If there be anyone here that's without Christ as their Savior, I pray that they would be saved, freed from sin. I pray, Lord, that if there are folks that are saved here today, Lord, that they would yield their members instruments of righteousness. And Lord, I want to take a moment and thank you for those that have served in our country, and we want to pray for protection for those that are now serving. Please, Lord, all over this globe, there's men and women that would love nothing more but to be back in the States, to be with their family, to go with their family to the house of God, to have a normal American Sunday, and yet their lives are anything but normal right now. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help them to feel our appreciation, our love, our prayers for them. Protect them, please. And Lord, maybe through their experience, if they're not saved, help them to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. I'm going to need some help today, and I'm going to ask a couple of our men to help me. I want to show you something that I hope will stick with you, that I hope you'll understand. I'm going to preach on this subject today, freedom isn't free. Freedom isn't free. And I want to talk about that as far as in our country. And I want our young people to know that I'm not sure that the most misunderstood concept in America today is the idea of freedom and what freedom truly is. And so I want to talk to you for a few minutes today, and I think the best way to teach you this, and I like fifth graders. We have fifth grade on up that don't go to children's church. Fifth graders will be able to understand this. Sixth graders will be able to understand this. I want you to sit up and listen. Junior high students, you know, I believe that you need to develop patriotism. I think patriotism is not an accident. It's something that you have to cultivate. It's something that you have to work at. It's something that you have to let the Lord develop in your life. But I would love for every single young person to be able to look at the flag and have stir within their hearts feelings of true patriotism. Why do we have a Veterans Day, Brother Jerry? Because it reminds us that freedom isn't free. Freedom isn't free. Many, many people have paid the supreme price. Many children did not have a daddy to raise them, not have a mama to raise them, were orphaned on the field of battle. Now, folks, that ought to mean something to us. Protecting our country, fighting the evils overseas, going to foreign lands and standing against tyrants. And America's very unique in that. The fact that, you know what, we don't hunker down over here and say we don't care about the rest of the world and wait till the evil's at our door. We care about people that aren't Americans and are willing to fight for people who aren't Americans so that they can enjoy something called freedom. Freedom, we want to talk about freedom a little bit. I'm going to get to Brother Rice, would you help me, and Derek and Nathan. I thought of just using you three this morning, so I will. I'm going to have you stand behind me, and I think I have Nathan, I'll have you stand there. Brother Rice, if you'll stand directly behind me, and Brother Derek Moore over the side over there, that's great. I want to see if I can illustrate this to you, because there's a problem that we're facing. Matter of fact, one of the hot point issues of this upcoming election I'm going to touch on this morning. I'm not here to preach politics. I'm here to preach the Bible. But I want to show you from a practical standpoint what we're facing in our country and then how that relates to our spiritual life. Let's suppose that this gentleman right here is a citizen of Cuba, and he was born in Cuba. And by the way, if you're born in Cuba, you are born into bondage because you are born a citizen of a country that's ruled by a dictator and is controlled by communism. And so young man here, he is a Cuban. He is raised in Cuba. He longs to be free. He'd love to live in a democracy. He'd love the idea of capitalism. He doesn't like dictatorship. And by the way, dictatorship means that whatever mood that man's in, that's what the law becomes. He has authority, reckless authority, without any accountability. And communism takes from everybody and supposedly equally distributes it out. But it's amazing the houses that the dictators have. It's amazing the prosperity the dictators have. And so here's a young man, and he is a resident or a citizen of Cuba. Now, I'm going to have you, let me switch this over. Let me have you come over here, Brother Reiser. I'm going to have you stand on this side. Now, from the moment that he's born, he is under bondage. And by the way, this is Fidel Castro, all right? There he is, right there. Fidel Castro. You wanted to see him? There he is. There's rumors about him being dead, but he's not. There he is, see? Now, from the moment that you're born here into this country, from the moment that you're born as a Cuban citizen, let me have your wrist here. You are born under bondage. From the moment that you're born. Isn't that cute? From the moment...
From the moment this man is born in Cuba, he is born under bondage. He is born a prisoner. He is born the citizen, the subject of a tyrant. And he longs to be free. Now, thank God there's a country that he's heard about called America. Amen? And I'm going to have this man, young man here represent America. And by the way, could I say this? America's not a country. America's a people. And this man here is a U.S. citizen. And by the way, we have always in our country, folks, read our history. I know that there is a big crisis right now. There's a hot point, hot flash issue as far as illegal immigration. But we've always, I mean, folks, go to the Statue of Liberty and read the inscription in it. This country has been more generous in accepting people that are in distress, refugees, people that are fleeing tyrants. We have opened, sometimes to our own hurt. But thank God we have been willing to open our arms to the people that are in other countries, that are in bondage, that would long to be free, long to be an American, long to experience the democracy and the type of life we have. Now, this guy is captured by communism. And so that's where he's at. Now, let's suppose that this Cuban here has an opportunity. Maybe he's an athlete. Maybe it's the Olympics. But he has an opportunity just for a brief time to escape Cuba, to leave Cuba. And you've read stories like this where sometimes if they're getting... By the way, when they come, they're under heavy armed guard. They don't go anywhere without somebody from Cuba watching them. You know why? Because, listen, folks, they're not building fences in Cuba to keep Americans from fleeing into Cuba. We're building walls in America to keep people from coming in. And that should tell them something. And so they have to accompany their athletes. They have to do everything they can to try to keep them from fleeing the country, from trying to find an opportunity to talk to somebody in authority to see if they could seek asylum in America. So let's say that this man comes across here and he's just for a brief time, he is freed. I don't even know how to get this thing unlocked. I should have probably practiced this whole thing. So, all right. And he gets an opportunity and he's freed for communism. And man, he finds this little window of opportunity and he finds a U.S. citizen here. He finds somebody in authority and he says, I don't want to be under bondage. I don't want to live in Cuba. I don't want to be under communism. I don't want to be under that dictatorial rule. Please, I'm seeking asylum. I want to be free. I want freedom. And you know what? America is kind enough and gracious enough to see that that's done, that that bondage is broken. We offer him asylum. We offer him freedom. We offer him a chance to immigrate into our country and to become a part of us. Now, this man comes into our country, but by the way, right away, he is not a citizen of our country. He has the opportunity to become a citizen, and we want him to become a citizen, but he's not a citizen. But he at least, right now, let's get you in the middle here, he's not under bondage of Castro anymore. That's been broken. And by the way, it was because of our country's generosity. It's because our country was willing to make that happen. Our country is willing to pay a price to see that that happens so he has an opportunity to be free. But he's not a citizen yet. He is a what we will call, and this is the hot button issue right now, he's a illegal alien. He's not legally a citizen. He's in here under permission, but he hasn't yet acclimated to a U.S. citizen. Now, once we get him in here, we say, all right, now that you're here, you've been given permission to be here. And by the way, I'm being generous this morning. I'm talking about someone that at least come and ask for permission to be here. I'm not talking about somebody who broke the law, and that's what it is, breaking the law and sneaking in. I'm at least talking about somebody that has permission at least to be here. And this man, all of a sudden, starts walking the streets of America. And guess what? He doesn't get his papers checked. He can go from state to state and travel, and nobody stops him. There's no checkpoints. I mean, you know what? If he makes money, he gets to keep all of it. And he starts enjoying the benefits of living in America. And all of a sudden he says, man, this is what I've always wanted, freedom. This is what I've always prayed for, freedom. I'm so glad to be free. Thank God I'm free. And man, he's just, all of the benefits of living in America, he's soaking them up and enjoying them. And man, he's just so excited. But wait a minute, there comes a point in time where our government says, now listen, we're glad that you're here, but if you're going to stay, then you need to apply for citizenship. Are you with me? And so we say, listen, there's some things that you're going to have to do. And by the way, I went on the website this morning of our Bureau of Citizenship Naturalization, and I got the requirements down here as far as what they expect him to do now that he's here. And by the way, he has to be here a certain amount of time before he can apply for citizenship. But during that time, this is amazing. Here's the three things that's going to be required of him if he wants to become a citizen. First of all, he has to exhibit in this time space of time before he's allowed to apply to be a citizen, he has to display good moral character. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, he has to display good moral character. Now, if he wants to come in and during this time frame, he wants to be a heathen, he wants to be a lawbreaker, he wants to exhibit immorality, he wants to be immoral, he wants to break the law, then guess what? He might as well not apply for citizenship, because that's an absolute requirement that you have to, for the time period that you're here, before you're allowed to apply for citizenship, you have to exhibit good moral character. By the way, that means you get up in the morning, you go to work. That means you're not lazy. That means you don't take advantage of people. That means you're fair. I mean, he has to prove that if he wants to be a citizen. Get this. This is astounding, but guess what? You got to learn English. Yeah, you want to be a citizen? You got to learn English. You got to learn English. I'll be a good one to teach you English. You got to learn English, you know, or hillbilly or whatever else you can learn. You have to learn English. And you know what? You're also going to be tested English and civics knowledge, which means you're going to have to understand how our government works. You're going to have to understand a little bit about our government. And then also, you're going to be tested eventually on your knowledge of the Constitution of the United States of America. And so you're going to have to know a little bit about our history and a little bit about our country. Now, all of a sudden, this guy's like, listen, man, I just got free. I like the freedom. I like the benefits of being American. I like all of that, but wait a minute. Now you want me to do what? I mean, I thought that freedom meant that I didn't have to do anything. I wasn't going to be required to do anything. I mean, I thought freedom was I can speak whatever language I want to speak, that I shouldn't be required to speak any kind of specific... I mean, come on, that's freedom, isn't it? I ought to be able to have freedom to speak Spanish if I want to speak Spanish or French. Well, now, all of a sudden, I thought I was coming to America while I was free, and now you're telling me that I've got to learn English? Yes, that's exactly right. We're telling you have to learn English. Well, I like my customs. I don't like the American customs that much. I want to maintain my customs. I like my Cuban heritage. Matter of fact, I don't want to be called an American. I want to be called a Cuban American. And so I don't understand this. I thought that I just escaped bondage. And now it sounds like you're trying to put me back into bondage. You know why? Because freedom isn't free. You see, the folks, this is the point I'm trying to get across to you. This whole idea that freedom means that you get to be anything you want to be and do anything you want to do and say anything you want to say, that's not freedom. You see, you don't have that. You say, well, I'm an American. I'm free. Okay, then you go get in your car, get on the highway, and just go 120 miles an hour between here and Linton and see what happens. You're going to get a ticket. You're going to find out that being American doesn't mean you can get to do anything you want to do. By the way, illegal alien, that doesn't mean you get to do whatever you want to do. That don't mean, well, you say, I don't want to learn history. Come on, I mean, I have to learn the history of this country. I'm not from this country. I'm a Cuban. Well, then go back to Cuba. I mean, if it was so great, go back there. But if you're going to be here, you ought to learn a little bit about the country that's offering you this rare and coveted opportunity. I mean, there's millions upon millions of, and I'm not exaggerating, millions upon millions and millions of people that the biggest and greatest dream of their life was to have the opportunity to come here and live, let alone become a citizen of this country. And you don't want to find out anything about our country? You don't care what our Constitution says? You don't care what the Declaration of Independence is all about? You couldn't give a hoot who George Washington is? Excuse me. Well, I don't want to fly that flag in my front yard. What I want to do is fly my Cuban flag. Well, I'm sorry, but I got a little bit of problem with that. You see, this country's been the one that's given you an opportunity to escape communism, escape Castro, and yet you want to take his flag and fly it in your front yard? I'm sorry, that's an insult. You're in America. We didn't give out Cuban flags this morning. We gave out American flags this morning, you see. Watch this. Freedom. I thought freedom meant I got to do whatever I want. Taxes? You don't really expect me to pay taxes. Yeah. Welcome to America. Amen. Guess what Americans do? Americans pay taxes. That's exactly what we do. Now listen, if I ought to pay taxes and you ought to pay taxes, shouldn't that guy, if he's going to live here, pay taxes? How come he ought to get free health benefits and I don't get free health benefits? By the way, I'm not asking for anything free, but it does seem a little bit weird to me that money is taken from me and given to him. And you know what? I've been here my whole life, and he's just coming in, and he don't want to pay taxes. Excuse me. You know what? If I pay him, buddy, you're going to pay him. You know, and you ought to be glad to pay him. I mean, listen, just a little while ago, you were under bondage over here. Listen, don't forget what you came from. Don't forget what this man did to you and did to your family. Don't forget about the oppression and poverty that you lived in. Man alive, you got an opportunity to make a living and a good living in America. So take some of the money you make and give it back to the country that gave you this opportunity, amen. You drive on its roads, don't you? I mean, you've got the benefit of its police force and protection of its police force and the protection of its fire departments. I mean, come on now. Pay your fair share, you say. Well, I want benefits. I want benefits. I want free benefits. Well, you shouldn't have any more free benefits than any other American has. You know why? Because you're just an American. We're all American. Work? You mean once I come here? Wait a minute. I thought I was free. I mean, isn't freedom all about doing whatever you want, and yet you expect me to get up tomorrow morning and go to work? Yes, that's exactly right. Welcome to America. Because America is strong because it's got a strong workforce. America's been able to do some things because it's got hardworking people that show up every day to work and aren't afraid not only to and allows the government and pays back the government for some of the benefits, but folks, through charitable giving, Americans are the most generous people in the world. And you know how we have the ability to be generous? It's because we go to work every morning. And so, you know what? Freedom's not free. Sorry, you're getting an education about what freedom really is here. You see, well, I don't know about a Pledge of Allegiance. When my kids go to school and they stand up, do they have to put their hand over their heart and pledge allegiance to the American flag? Yep. Amen. That's exactly right. Welcome to America. Well, where's the Cuban flag? And when we do that, it's back in Cuba. If you want to do that, you go back to Cuba and you can pledge allegiance all you want. But you're in America. You're in America. You say, well, I thought I was free. We dreamed about coming to America because you're free and you can do whatever you want. I mean, listen, they've got rules and regulations and laws, and they expect, do we have to keep them too? Yep. That's exactly right. There's laws and there's rules and regulations, and if you want to be an American, you ought to follow the same laws that every other person in America follows. And you know what? You shouldn't be getting special treatment. Yeah, you got to learn about our Constitution. You got to learn about our the Declaration of Independence. You ought to know a little bit about our country. And by the way, we're going to test you before you become a U.S. citizen to find out whether you know these things. You can't bluff your way through. You've got to know English. You have to know about civics. You have to know about the Declaration of Independence and a Constitution. You have to understand and study and be willing to pledge allegiance to this country who is allowing you a chance to break the bondage that you had underneath Castro. Now, folks, would every one of you, did anybody in this room feel like anything I've said is unfair? I mean, if this man is going to come from oppression and be given an opportunity to live in a free country, then one of the first things he has to learn is this: freedom isn't free. The reason that, listen, he may not understand this, but there's a reason that Veterans Day means something to a lot of us. There has been millions of Americans shed their blood so that you can have this opportunity. When the 4th of July parade comes down, I'm going to stand when the flag comes. You better stand when the flag comes by. I mean, on Veterans Day, I'm going to go shake a veteran's hand. You ought to find a veteran and shake his hand. You know why? Because they are paying the price. They've paid the price so that we get to the opportunity to enjoy what we enjoy every single day. Amen. And so, folks, freedom isn't free. Freedom isn't free. Freedom isn't free. All right, let's back this up now. Brother Jerry, what does Romans chapter 6 teach? It teaches the same exact thing, only it teaches it on a spiritual plane. Here we go. Come back over here. Try not to hurt you. Amen.
Let me give you some thoughts. Every single one of us, go to Romans chapter 5. You're right beside it. Look at verse number 12.
Every single man that's born into the human race, this is the devil and this is sin. You were at Castro, you just took a step down, man. It's not going the right direction. Look at what's saying Romans chapter number 5, verse 12. Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Every single person that's born, not just in Cuba, in any country, anywhere on planet Earth, anyone born into the human race is born in bondage to sin. He's born in bondage to sin. And you know what? Whether or not he knows it, sin is a merciless master. And by the way, let me just say this. Sin, according to chapter number 6, you say, well, he can't help it. Sin makes him do these things. No, the Bible says in Romans chapter number 6, it says it twice, verse number 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. In verse number 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Listen, you know why you're a sinner? Because you have, not because sin came upon you and it's Adam's fault, because you have yielded your members servants of sin. So we are in bondage to sin, and by the way, we actively participate in the system. But you know what? The whole time there's something inside of us that says, I wish I was free. Amen? I wish I was free. Say, Brother Jerry, that old hardened sinner out there, that guy on in the motorcycle gang, that woman that's involved in activities that are wrong, that teenager that's the druggie. I mean, Brother Jerry, why take the time to witness to them? I'll tell you why. Because down deep in their heart, they long to be free. They may actively participate in the sin, and they may even seem to enjoy the sin, but there's part of them that wishes someone could tell them how to break the bondage of sin. You know why? Because sin is a cruel taskmaster. Now, if you don't get that bond broke, if you don't get those handcuffs undone, one of these days, sin and death's going to be cast in the lake of fire, and guess what? You're in bondage to it, you're handcuffed to it, and you're going to follow it right into hell. And that's where the world is. That's where the lost world is. Now, Jesus Christ, praise the Lord, Jesus Christ, I'm going to let you represent Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid for our salvation, and he gave us an opportunity through his shed blood to be free from sin. And so this man at some point is given the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe he comes to a Blessed Hope Baptist Church and sits in the back. Maybe a soul winner comes by and knocks on his door. Maybe he's sitting in a nursing home. Maybe, I don't know where he's at. Maybe he's down in the jailhouse, Brother J.R. But somewhere, somebody comes in and shares the glorious gospel and say, listen, you don't have to be in bondage to sin. You can be free. Jesus Christ provides the gift of eternal life. He'll forgive you. He'll save you. He'll cleanse you. And man, this guy says, you know what? That sounds good. I want... Oh no, I lost the key. I'm just kidding. And this guy says, I want to do that. I want to be free. I got an opportunity to be free from sin. I got an opportunity to be free from this cruel taskmaster. And so he comes over here And he says, no more am I the servant of sin. I'm free. I'm free. No more do I have to answer to anybody. And by the way, there's a many new converts that once they're saved, just like somebody from another country might come to America and think they understand what freedom is, they don't really understand freedom. Because, folks, freedom isn't free. Salvation is free, but freedom isn't free. And so all of a sudden this guy says, amen, thank you, Jesus, thank you for saving me. Woo, I'm free, look at this, I'm free, I'm no longer attached, I'm no longer in bondage, I'm no longer the servant of sin, hallelujah. And all of a sudden after he's kind of got over that, all of a sudden he goes to a good Bible church and he starts saying, well, listen, now that you're free, we need you to learn a different language. Well, what's wrong with my language? Well, if you're saved out of this world, probably a lot. You probably use words that Christians shouldn't use. You probably talk about things that Christians shouldn't talk about. You probably tell jokes and listen to jokes that Christians shouldn't tell or listen to. You probably say things, and you probably gossip, and you probably talk negative and critical about people. That's not how Christians... Listen, you've got to learn a new language. Wait a minute, I thought I was free. Just a minute. By the way, you need to learn the customs of Christianity. Well, I like my customs. And by the way, this is the problem that we're facing in America right now, in Christianity right now. Is people want to be free from the bondage of sin, but they think that freedom means that they get to do whatever they want from that point forward. I'm telling you, reread Romans chapter number 6, folks. I can't go word by word down to it, but I'm going to show you some things out of this chapter that I hope will help you. Jesus Christ didn't free you from sin so you could... Listen, you're going to be the servant of somebody. And let me tell you what a lot of new converts, what a lot of people that receive Christ, they think freedom means this. From now on, I no longer have to serve sin. I get to be my own boss. I get to do what I want to do. Thank God I'm free. And you know what? You are still a servant. You just are a servant of yourself. But you know what? Jesus Christ didn't free you from sin so that you could serve yourself. Freedom isn't free. You have some responsibilities now as a Christian. You ought to learn a new language. You ought to learn some new customs. You know, I don't know if I want to be called a Christian. Just like the Cuban wanted to be a Cuban American, can I be a like worldly Christian? Can I just keep a little bit of that title in there? Because I kind of like my roots, I kind of like my customs, I kind of like where I came from. Would that make any sense to anybody in here? I'm going to tell you, you can say whatever you want to and go out and be critical, but I'm tired of this African American. I'm tired of this Australian American. I'm tired of this Mexican American. Listen, folks, if you come to this country, you're an American. And by the way, if you're saved out of the world, you're to be a Christian. Not supposed to be a worldly Christian or a heathen Christian or a pagan Christian or a devil Christian. I mean, you're supposed to leave all that behind. You're supposed to be a Christian. Amen. And we're not being reasonable to do that, to ask that of you. Well, and by the way, you got to learn a little bit about the history. You ought to read our Declaration of Independence. You ought to understand our U.S. Constitution. You ought to have to go to civics class. Only we call it Bible class. We call it church. You ought to learn what this book's all about. You ought to find out a little bit about the depth of the price that was paid so that you could get out of what you just got out of. Now listen, you didn't have to know all of those things in order to be free from sin and to get saved. But once you are saved, you ought to learn some things. These wild, free Christians. I'm free now. Well, wait a minute. You don't understand freedom. Freedom isn't free. By the way, rest of it pays tithes. You're supposed to too. Well, this don't sound like freedom. Wait a minute. Yes, it is. It absolutely is freedom, you see, because you are free from sin and you were going to be attached to this man called sin, and sin's going to be cast in the lake of fire, and that's where you were going to end up. Man, you've got an opportunity now to escape that. You were given that opportunity. You were given the gift of eternal life. But you know, let me say that you were given your freedom, but freedom, it's not free. Now, so many Christians, they want to show up and they want to become citizens, but they want all the benefits of Christianity, but none of the
responsibilities of Christianity. They want all the benefits of eternity, but they don't want to have to pay any of the price.
By the way, here's a word for you too. I know you're free now, but we do something in Christianity. It's called work. Yeah. Guess what? You don't get to be on welfare. Yeah, what happened to all my amens from all you redneck patriots out there, you know? How come you were so excited about me wanting the illegal alien to come here and actually get a job and do something in appreciation for what he's been given, but you'll get saved and take eternal life and stick it in your back pocket and think that you don't have to lift a finger for Jesus Christ the rest of your life? You don't owe him a day's work? You don't owe him some work and some sweat and some labor and some ministries around here at Blessed Old Baptist Church? You don't owe him one cotton-picking day out there picking up or sweeping the floor? I mean, if Pastor Ross can go out there yesterday and sweep the floor and clean up some things, maybe some you young men might be able to just grace us with your presence every once in a while. What I'm saying is this, folks, freedom's not free. It's not free. I mean, somebody's got to work the bus ministry. Somebody's got to go to these nursing homes like the Caspers. Someone's got to go out there on the front line and find some people. It's not free. And yet we want Christianity, we want all the benefits, and we want to become welfare Christians and sit here and live off the fat of the land, but we don't want to show up and serve God? Man, this is good. I'm having a good time, amen. You see, folks, that's our flag over there. That's the Christian flag. That's what we stand and pledge allegiance to. We've got 64 students every single morning, and the staff that stand in this room face that flag, put their hand over their heart, and pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whom it stands. That's our allegiance is to Him. By the way, our allegiance isn't to rock and roll. Our allegiance isn't to drugs. Our allegiance isn't to Hollywood. It's to Jesus Christ. And see, what you want is you want freedom. You don't want to have to go to hell. You want to be saved. You want Jesus. And you're glad that He died on the cross for you and paid your sin debt. And you want to be free from the penalty of sin. But I want you to notice, if you look at this, folks, if you please look at this, in verse number 18, it says this, being then made free from sin. Look at the verse. Hear this. Being then made free from sin, ye became the what? Servants of righteousness. And I'm going to tell you what, when Christ freed you from sin, He didn't free you so you'd be a freelancer out here floating around doing whatever was right in your own eyes. He saved you so that you can be free from being a servant of sin, but you can choose, because it has to be a choice. You can yield. That's what it says in verse number 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Let me have that handcuff. You want to unlock that for me? I'm going to show you something that's going to be shocking to you. But boy, this kind of thing needs to be preached. I don't want anybody to leave here and say for 1 minute or say anything about Jerry Ross preached to work salvation. I'm not saying that you have to do anything to get saved. I'm saying after you are saved, you know what? After you are set free, you ought to understand that there's a lot of people that's paid a lot of price for the freedom that you have. Jesus paid the ultimate price, and a lot of other people paid the price to get the gospel to you and get the Bible to you, and all of a sudden you're just going to live off the fat of the land? Here's what's offered. Let me show you this. Here's what's offered by Jesus Christ. That's what He offers. You see, He didn't want you just to get free there. And He made it so you could get free. And He's not going to make you stick your hand in that handcuff there. If you want to, you can spend your life floating around here claiming to be saved. Like some of them claim to be an American. But they don't participate in the process. They don't speak the language. They don't go to work. They don't pay the taxes. What they do, they're just leeches. They latch on to a good country and suck the lifeblood out of it. Brother Jerry, this is strong preaching, I know. But we're in trouble in Christianity today too. So we want a lot of people to want Jesus to forgive us our sin. We want our ticket out of hell. We want our fire insurance policy. We want to be free. Jesus said, listen, when you were a servant of sin, you yielded your members You yielded your members to sin. You yielded your members to iniquity. Listen, he didn't force you to do anything. You freely participated in the process. And now that you're saved and you're a Christian, what he wants is he wants you to become a servant of righteousness. He wants you to become a servant, the Bible says, of holiness. Look, if you will, now down in verse number 22. But now, being made free from sin and become what? See, folks, freedom isn't free. He said, listen, I didn't save you so that you'd stop being a servant of sin. I saved you so that you could become a servant of God. So I don't accept that, God said. They don't fly with me. And it's a shame because we've got people all over. This is probably the biggest problem we have. In Christianity today, we've got a bunch of folks that want to claim salvation, and I think they probably truly are saved, but they think freedom means that they're just free of sin, and with that comes no obligation to service. There's no appreciation. Where are the 9 lepers that don't come back and at least say thank you? Healing, a new chance in life with no appreciation? I mean, we're coming up on Thanksgiving, folks. Man, we need to revisit this thing. You see, what God wants you to do is he wants you, and by the way, I can't make you do it. You've got to choose to do it. He wants you to walk over there. He wants you to take a hold of that hand. Listen, I can't do it. Nobody can do it. Jesus isn't going to get you in a headlock. He wants you to come to the point where you realize, out of appreciation for all that he's done for you and the opportunities he's given you, he wants you to become a servant of righteousness, a servant of God. A servant of holiness. Why? Because somebody forced you into bondage? No, because you yield your members. Servants of righteousness, of holiness, servants unto God. Now, folks, listen to me very carefully. Listen to me very carefully, and we're going to be done. This election that's coming up, I'm telling you, I think the issue above all issues, there's a lot of things going on, but one of the top issues is this deal about what are we going to do with illegal immigrants? They are, watch this, they are bankrupting. And they are. You may write this off as unkind, folks. Listen, I'm an American and I think everybody will obey the laws of America. I'm all for accepting immigrants, but I'm for accepting them legally and going through a process. Listen, that's in our laws. Somebody that sneaks into this country, lives off this country, but does so illegally and won't participate in the process, they ought to be booted out. And they are about to break us financially. They are about to bankrupt our country. And under the guise of compassion, we've got some of our political leaders that are giving away our country to support them, offering them free everything with nothing in return expected from them. Watch this. That could destroy this country. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. That absolutely could destroy America in the next 25 years. But let me tell you something that's destroying the church. This idea that freedom is free. Freedom's free. I can get saved, get my sins forgiven. By the way, it is a free gift of eternal life, but it does come with some responsibilities. Nobody's going to charge you $1 million to become a U.S. citizen. It's free. But it comes with some responsibilities. Brother Jerry, I want the benefits of the church. Amen. I want you to enjoy them. I'm glad that every day I get to enjoy the benefits of being an American. I want you to have the benefits. But you know what? We also need you to become part of the process. We need you to pay your tithes. We need you to work. We need you to participate. By the way, you ought to learn a little bit about this church. You ought to learn about a little bit about the price that's been paid for it to be here. You ought to learn a little bit about this book right here. You ought to learn about your Christian heritage. You ought to appreciate what Christ has done for you. You ought to do a little studying. You ought to learn the language. You ought to understand about that flag, not just that flag. You ought to understand a little bit about that flag. By the way, that flag's been around a lot longer than that flag. I'm all for patriotism, but my allegiance to God's always supremely above any other allegiance.
It ought to be for you too.
So what I'm saying here is this, folks.
Freedom's not free. And if you've come to Christ and accepted the free gift of eternal life, I'm glad for you. Now, why don't you just go ahead and acclimate right on into the system? Why don't you get baptized? Why don't you join the church? Why don't you come and learn something? Come Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, sit and learn some things about the Bible and about the new life that you have in Jesus Christ. Why don't you decide that some of the workload's going to come on your shoulders? Well, some of the ministries are going to be because of your participation. Why don't you become a citizen? Not just enjoy the freedom, become a citizen. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd take this message and that you'd speak to our hearts with it and use it, Lord, to bring conviction to our lives. There may be someone here today and they are bound. They are in the bondage of sin. I pray that you would convict their hearts right now, Lord, and show them their need of eternal life. Show them their need of a Savior. And I pray, Lord, that you would use this message to get them to understand if they do not allow Jesus Christ to unlock the handcuff that has them bound to sin and to the devil, that when they're cast into the lake of fire, they'll go in there with them. Lord, after we receive the free gift of eternal life, may we understand, Lord, that it comes with an obligation. It comes with a responsibility. And Lord, may we, out of gratitude and love to a Savior that has freed us from this relentless, miserable tyrant of sin, Lord, may we yield our bodies as instruments of righteousness for His service. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.